I have it sitting on my dresser. I go up and I just like touch it. I know it sounds so stupid, but I mean, it's like I look at the pictures and I just can't believe I did it.
Today's Runs With Podcast, episode 294, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With Podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by The Coterie, which is the hybrid training program that I have that kind of combines some of the group training type of features and benefits that you see in a lot of different group training programs with that, you know, what I believe is essential, that one-on-one component, that custom training program, not some one-size-fits-all gimmick, but what you really need to help you take your running to the next level. And I just want to let you know, if you have been maybe on the fence about The Coterie for a little while, sometime in early to mid-September, I haven't nailed the exact date down yet, but probably leaning towards the earlier part of September, I'm going to be bumping the price up a little bit. And for those of you that get in, or for those that are already in, or for those of you that get in before that price hike happens, rest assured that your price won't change. So if you've been on the fence thinking about it, not sure, maybe, now's the time to get your questions answered and to, you know, if it's something that you think is right for you, to take the plunge. So let me know what questions you have about The Coterie, or head to the page on the website that kind of is dedicated to The Coterie and explain a lot of the features. And that's dizruns.com/coterie. That's C-O-T-E-R-I-E. And again, if you have any questions, let me know. And with that, let's get on to today's episode of the show. Hey guys. My guest today has been running for 20 plus years, and she has no plans of slowing down anytime soon. In addition to her running and her day job as a pediatric nurse practitioner, she also maintains a great blog that is very much worthy of the many accolades that it has received over the years. So without any further ado, it's a joy to be able to welcome Ms. Wendy Rivard to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Wendy.
Thank you.
And guys, if you haven't checked out her blog yet, again, it's well worth taking the trip. Just head over to takingthelongwayhome.com. And
I was gonna say it's actually takinglongwayhome.com. Oh. Somebody already had the so.
So we'll try that again. Takinglongwayhome.com. And on Instagram you can check out some of the photos from her workouts and different things she's got going on. With the handle at Wendy is taking the long way home. Did I get that one right that time?
There's the
out of there again.
Let me look. Now you got me stumped. Yeah, I think it's Wendy. Wendy is taking the long way home.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Goodness. And on Facebook, taking old running mom home. I know I got that one right. So
yes. And Twitter is old running mom.
Twitter is at old running mom. Yes. So we got all kinds of different names, which you know, it is what it is. And guys, you know what the deal is here. We'll have everything will be linked up at on the show notes for this episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/294. So, Wendy, the way we always get things started on the show is with a very simple, at least it's a simple question. The answer is sometimes simple, and the answer is sometimes a little more complex. I think I know which way you're going to go from reading your blog, but I'm still going to ask it, and we'll start there. And it's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Oh, well, I would have to say, believe it or not, I like the 10-mile distance the best. Mm. But there aren't a lot of 10-mile races, mm-hmm. so I do veer towards half marathons. I've done almost probably 20 half marathons. I'm not quite sure how many, but somewhere in that vicinity. And that is definitely my favorite, like, formal distance, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. any particular reason?
Because it doesn't suck the life out of you. You can always, well, the training, I mean, mm-hmm. I never train for a half marathon. I maintain a base of between 20 and 25 miles a week of running. And when I have a half marathon on the horizon, I throw in, some long runs on the weekends. I kind of ladder them up. I'll do like 8, 10, 12, 8, 10, 12, and then the half, and mm-hmm. I'm good to go.
Yeah. That is one thing that's nice. If you're running fairly consistently, it's pretty easy to stay in half marathon shape. And like you said, training for a marathon, completely different animal.
Oh, it is. I mean, that's like the one distance that still scares me, even though I've done four. I still make sure that I maintain a really good training plan when I'm training for a marathon. I mean, I stick to that like glue.
Oh yeah, and it's you know, it's one of those distances where no matter how diligent you are about sticking to the training and doing, you know, quote unquote, all the right things, like stuff can still happen over the course of 26 miles that just, you know,
right,
you go,
throws
everything
out.
Why did I decide
window.
To do this race? Why didn't I just stick to something a little shorter and more manageable?
Yeah, I've been known to jump into a half marathon the week of the race. So, and PR, I nearly PR'd one last fall doing that. I mean, you just, the halves, for me, they're very doable and they're fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. It's you know, again, if you're consistently doing that type of, you know, long run kind of in that distance, like, yeah, you can throw it out there. And to PR in one after you've just known about it about a week in advance, that's pretty good right there.
Well, that's leftover marathon fitness, I think. So, yeah.
That definitely helps, having that little bit extra base in it.
Absolutely. That was really fun. That was a really fun race.
Which race was it?
So there's it's the last half marathon of the year in the Chicago area. It's the Schomburg Turkey Trot Half Marathon, and it's in a forest preserve near my house. It's the second time I've done it. You just run on the forest preserve path, but it's in November. It's the weather's usually pretty cool, so it's, you know, perfect conditions for fast running. I met up with another blogger. Oh, I should give you his name, Pete. He's like amazing. He's like probably close to my age, running the fastest times of his life right now. And I finally got to meet him, and he was at the finish line with me and got a really fun picture. It was just a really, because I was so shocked by how fast I ran and how easy it felt. So it was really fun.
Yeah, like you said, the weather, you know, I'm in Central Florida, so anytime I can get a chance to get somewhere where the weather is tolerable, I don't even know if it gets good, you know, good for running down here very often, but at least tolerable is a huge boost.
Well, we have your weather right now, because this morning I did 4 and it was 80 degrees and 80% humidity.
Yeah,
that
sounds about what it is here at 4 o'clock most mornings these days.
Yeah, it was brutal.
It definitely is. Definitely.
But it was good.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it feels good to sweat. So
yes it does. You mentioned meeting up with Pete, your blogging friend. Have you been able to do that a lot at different races with different online folks or bloggers or things like that you've been connected with and get to meet them in person?
That's the best part about my blog is I've gotten to connect with some really amazing people. I started reading another friend's blog, Marcia, who's a really good friend of mine now, Marcia's Healthy Slice. And over the years, hers was the first blog I read. And I realized by reading it that she lives very close to me. And so we meet for lunch at least once every 1 to 2 months, and we've become very good friends. And even like in other parts of the country, I ran a race in Florida. I ran the Sarasota Half Marathon in March, and I met another blogging friend too. And so it's really, really fun for me to meet all these other runners like this.
Yeah, it's a, you know, something that I've gotten to experience with the podcast, and you know, folks that I've had on the show or folks that listen to the show, and you get a chance to meet up with them and run with them a little bit, and it's a cool way to bring, you know, the greater, if you will, running community to real life almost, and really, you know, just kind of cement a friendship and you know, with a handshake and a look in the eye and a hug and all that kind of good stuff. It's a cool dynamic to be able to do.
Well, when I ran Big Sur this spring, when I signed up for the lottery last year, I have a Facebook friend that I met. She lives in California, and I messaged her and asked her that if she wanted to run it with me, because that was a race I did not want to run for time. I wanted the experience, and I want to experience it with somebody. And we met we ran the race together, and it was, you know, it took us 5 hours because we stopped. We took a zillion pictures, and I was running on plantar fasciitis. So
that's not fun.
No, but it was fine. It didn't bother me because, you know, it was the most amazing experience. And we have, you know, that's a friend for life now. It was like we had such a good time. We hugged at the finish. We, you know, I was crying. It was just amazing. So
yeah,
it's been really great.
It's always, you know, I mean, I think, I feel like, you know, in the running community, maybe we're a little bit biased, but we're, you know, always saying that runners are some of the best people. And then, you know, when you've gotten to know somebody for, you know, months and years in some cases online, and then once you meet in person, like it's like you've been friends forever, it seems like.
That's amazing to me. And I say that all the time, but it, you know, like my family's like, you've never met this person mm-hmm. before and you're running with them. And I'm like, oh, but we know each other.
You don't even hesitate to think about like, oh yeah, I'll go meet him and you'll run. Like, it's no big deal.
It is. It's great. Cause I run by myself exclusively. Mm-hmm. I don't train with a group. I don't train with people. And so this has been like really nice to have people like this, you know, mm-hmm. to kind of validate what we do.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Is there a reason that you typically or basically exclusively run by yourself?
You know, I think it started like when my kids were little and it was like the one time a day that like mm-hmm. no one was tugging on me and mm-hmm. I didn't have to be mom and I got to be by myself. You know, and then now with my job, I work in a really, really busy clinic at a mm-hmm. big hospital here in the Chicago area. And it's really a stressful job. And I talk to people all day long. Mm-hmm. And the time on the road is just time by myself and time to be in my head. And it's really kind of nice.
Yeah. So you're getting obviously the physical, but you're also getting kind of the mental therapeutic benefits of it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What was it that got you to start running however many 20 plus years ago that it's been?
It was when I was in my 20s, I started having anxiety and panic attacks mm-hmm. really bad, like to the point where I had to even like stop working for a while so I could figure it out. And I didn't want to take medication. And somebody suggested to me to start running. And I was working out at a gym and they had an indoor track. And I just kind of started, you know, running around the track and found that it really helped get rid of a lot of that nervous energy. I'm a pretty high strung person, mm-hmm. so it really helps. And it was funny this past week, I've taken a couple weeks off to let my foot, I still have the plantar fasciitis, mm. to let it calm down. And on Monday I came home from work and I told my husband, I said, I'm going to run tomorrow because I feel like it's coming back, you know? Mm. And I ran on Tuesday and it was like someone flipped a switch in my brain and I've been fine ever since. So it even shocked me because I'm a medical person. I'm mm-hmm. pretty cynical, but I was like my old self again. I felt really good. So.
And do you find that you basically only get that kind of calming or de-stressing or whatever the best way to say it would be from running or do other, you know, I know you do some CrossFit and you do some other things like that. Do those things help as well, or is running really, for you at least, the best medicine?
They all help, but running is the best medicine. I don't know what it is about, if it's the breathing, if it's mm-hmm. the pounding on the road. Sometimes, I have teenage boys, so, you know, sometimes they'll take those runs, and they're hard and they're fast, and I come back, and I can handle whatever life is throwing at me, and yeah, it sounds like a cliche, but mm-hmm. it's really, really true.
Well, and I mean, you know, clearly it works for you. B, clearly it has worked for lots of other people. Cause I've had other folks on the show that talk about it or just, you know, like you said, somebody mentioned that, hey, I feel like I've heard this works and you give it a shot and it does help. Why do you, and maybe you have a view on this and maybe you don't, and that's fine. We'll deal with the answer as it comes. But why do you think that maybe, or I don't even know exactly the best way to answer this because I'm not, you know, thankfully I don't have really much for anxiety and whatnot. But why do you think it's not more widespread or is there a way to help more, reach more folks that maybe struggle with some anxiety or some depression to be like, hey, you know, to try to just get them started with running to see if it will help them? Do you understand where I'm trying to get with that question?
I do because, you know, I mean, I work with kids, but mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of teenagers, something happens when kids go through puberty and they, especially girls, they get really anxious mm-hmm. and they lose their self-confidence. And running's done all that for me. And I do talk about it a lot with my patients. And I think people don't want to do it because it's hard. Running's mm-hmm. hard. And I think what happens is a lot of people go out and run, but they run fast and they're not conditioned and they're mm-hmm. out of breath immediately. And I talk about that a lot. I'm like, you know, if you don't want to go slow, then you're going to have to do like a run walk combo. And I mean, I've done that when I've come back from having kids and surgery and mm-hmm. injuries. There's nothing to be ashamed of with doing that. Like running, as I tell them, run for 5 minutes, walk for two, you know, like I'll give them intervals to do. I mean, And I think people get discouraged because they feel like they're going to just go out and run a marathon or run a 5K mm-hmm. without training. And I mean, you have to condition your body to do that. And I think that's why they don't do it. And plus, really, Denny, wouldn't you rather take a pill mm-hmm. than go out? Well, I wouldn't, but.
Right. I get what you're saying.
But like 90% of people would. I mean, I have parents bring their kids to me and they just want a pill for everything. They don't want to work for it. Mm-hmm. And that's I think, just kind of the American mentality.
Well, it's that instant gratification. Like nothing's ever fast enough. Even right. with a pill, like can we do an IV? Will that be quicker? Like what's the quickest way we can get from point A to point B?
Oh my God. See, you get it. Absolutely. That's my life. That's yes. why I run. No, yes. I'm just kidding.
No, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating because, you know, there's all the sayings and the platitudes about, you know, the best things are things that you work for and you know, you value more the things that you know, take some effort and some blood and sweat and tears. And, you know, there's a dozen different platitudes and sayings and things along those lines. Yet, I mean, and we're all guilty of it in one form or another. Like maybe
Absolutely.
It's not medication, but maybe it's, you know, high speed internet, or maybe it's how quick we can make dinner. Or I mean, just, you know, why there's a lag on the TV remote when we're pressing the buttons and it takes, you know, a second for Netflix to load. Like we all have our things where we're like now. And sometimes we all, and I'm certainly guilty here, need to be okay with slowing down once in a while.
Yeah, everybody's like that.
Yeah. So when you did get started with running to kind of deal with some of the anxiety, when I got to imagine that it wasn't quite as instant as it was this last, you know, last week or so when you were dealing with the injury and like that one run was a flip of the switch. Did it take a while for it to start to impact you and have the effect?
I think so. I don't remember exactly, but I remember I'm trying to think. You know, I think you're right. It didn't happen right away. I think it kind of all of a sudden I realized I was starting to feel better. I was, but you know, a lot of other things happened too because I started to get more self-confidence and just feel better about myself in general. And that was like a big evolution in my life, you know. And interestingly, this is like so personal, but you know, my husband and I started to struggle a little bit at that point because I think I was changing into a different person than the person he married, you know? So we had to work through that as well. So it was really an interesting time, but it all for the better.
Right.
I mean, you know, we've been married for 28 years now, so we definitely survived that.
Huh. Well, congratulations. That's 28 years. It's, again, in this day and age, like that's quite the... We just celebrated 10 years a couple months ago, my wife and I.
Oh,
and it's like,
congratulations.
Yeah, so many people, and it's funny because I, you know, not funny, but it's just one of those things where I stop and think and be like, you know, it doesn't seem like 10 years is that long, but then I look around at a lot of folks that are kind of in my age group and friends that have already been married and divorced and remarried, and it's like, wow, like 10 years really is kind of an achievement in 28 years, certainly. Like that's even more so.
It's hard. It's hard work. I mean, when we're so different, my husband does not exercise. He's overweight now. I mean, since we've gotten married, you know, he's put on weight and he doesn't work out, but he supports me. And that's the important thing. Mm-hmm. And we balance each other out. And that's what it's all about.
Definitely. And you know, get, like you said, balance out, give and take. And you support him in some things and he supports you. And it's a team, you know?
Well, I mean, Big Sur was huge because before I ever ran a marathon, before I ever even ran a half marathon, we went there on our honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I started running and I learned about the Big Sur Marathon, and I told him, I said, if I ever run a marathon, that's the one I want to run. And when I entered the lottery last year, he's like, yeah, let's do it. And I got in and we had such a great trip. But it was funny. I said to him, I go, oh, this is going to be like our second honeymoon. And he's like, it is not a second honeymoon. We're going because you're running. And, you know, so it was pretty funny. And so then that was the joke, as we kept saying, this isn't our second honeymoon. And, you know, people are like, oh, how was your trip? I'm like, you know, or how was your not your second honeymoon? Mm-hmm. That's what we kept calling it. But, you know, the second part of the trip, we went to Yosemite and we hiked and we did all the stuff like, you know, that he could enjoy too. And it was just amazing.
Good. Did the race itself live up to your expectations?
Oh my gosh. Have you ever run it?
I have not. And it's definitely like, I don't have too many races on my, like, you know, come hell or high water, I will run this race list, but it's definitely on my list of, I would like to run Big Sur, I think.
It's just like that was the race for me. And it's funny because I'm kind of at a crossroads now because I'm like, there's nothing that's going to top that. And I mean, I've run the Chicago Marathon 3 times. I love the Chicago Marathon, but the Big Sur, you know, I heard when you run Big Sur, you walk away a changed runner. And I have to believe that that's really true. And I can't even like set any goals now. I don't know what to do with myself because I like met my like really corny as it sounds. My bucket list goal was to run Big Sur. You can't even believe. I mean, I can't even put it into words. Every time I talk about it, that like glow comes back over me again. It just was, it's so beautiful. It was so hard and such an amazing experience. I can't even, I don't know. I could go on and on, but I won't because I'll take up all the airtime.
No, that's all right. It's one of, like, I love when you know, I have a chance to talk to folks who have kind of had that big bucket list type of race and run. For me, it's Boston. You know, it's much about qualifying as it is as lining up and running. But I mean, that's, you know, if you told me that I could run, you know, I could qualify for Boston, run it, and I had to be done running after that, like, I wouldn't be happy, but I think I could handle it. So I love talking to folks who have, you know, whether it's, you know, quite the same level or however it works, but just that's your race. You know, that was your race you wanted to run and you ran it.
I was going to say the only other race. I mean, if someone called me up and said, you know, Wendy, we're going to give you a free entry to Boston, I would do it. I wouldn't even care. I mean, I tried to qualify for it. I was like 15 minutes off. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, it's ridiculous. Even if you qualify, you can't get in.
Right.
And I mean, I'm 53, so my qualifying time is 4 hours. And I've come so close. But I don't want to run another marathon that hard again and try to qualify. But if somebody said to me, you know, I hope Stonyfield Farms is listening. They could put me on their team. But anyways, I would totally, totally do it.
Yeah.
That's you. Yeah.
It was Boston something that was, you said you've tried to qualify a couple times. So that was, that and Big Sur were kind of your two that you wanted to do?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there were people at Big Sur, they do Boston to Big Sur. Mm-hmm. They're a week apart. I'm like, that's insane. I mean, all those hills and... I'm just in awe of those people. I really am. I don't know how people do back-to-back marathons because their marathons really take a lot out of you.
Oh, they definitely do. It's you know, I wonder sometimes. I almost feel like you if you're going to do that, you can't really race either of them. You have to just kind of run them at, you know, what for me might still be a race pace, but for those folks is more of a leisurely stroll. You know, taking your time, stopping for pictures, talking to spectators, whatever, and. I don't know how you can. I'm sure somebody does it where they really race them both, but I don't know how you can race back to back like that.
I don't either, but kudos to them. Boy, it's just not in my makeup to do that.
Yeah.
So
no, me neither. What was your biggest highlight, if you can even, and like you said, it's sometimes a struggle to put into words with Big Sur, but do you have like a one moment or one thing that really stands out from that experience?
The finish line.
Yeah.
When Christina and I approached the finish line, and about a quarter of a mile before, she grabbed my hand, and we ran in holding hands, and we crossed that finish line, and we spontaneously threw our arms around each other. I mean, the cameras were like flashing. It was like paparazzi. And I just started to sob because this, you know, it was like a dream come true. And, the medical people came rushing over. They're like, are you okay? You know, I'm like, I was like, and I couldn't walk after. My feet hurt so bad. But I like didn't even care, you know. I mean, I got, and the medal is like, it's a handcrafted like ceramic medal made by local people. And like, I like kept holding it in my hand. Like, I couldn't believe that I had it. I still like, I have it sitting on my dresser. I go up and I just like touch it. I know it sounds so stupid, but... I mean, it's like I look at the pictures and I just can't believe I did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm from Illinois. Like, ooh, you know, like I went to California and I ran a marathon, and I tell people about it. Like my friends, nobody that don't run, they're like, oh my God, that's so amazing. You know? So yeah.
Sounds like you need to re-enter the lottery and do it again.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Cause what
maybe
if,
not
what
this year, but you know, some
would it match
online.
Up? I don't know. I have to find a different bucket list race, I
there
guess.
You
so
there you go. In the time that you've been running, how have you noticed that, you know, from 20 years ago plus to now, clearly, you know, the running booms and things have changed, the blogging, you know, the social media, all kinds of things have changed. But what stands out to you as a couple of things maybe that have really changed in the time that, you know, from when you started running to present day?
Well, there's just so many more people running, mm-hmm. basically. And the half marathons, like, I mean, I can't believe how many people sign up. And the interesting thing to me is there's no shape or size of a runner. I mean, I get passed by people who are twice my size. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to me. The other thing that's changed is this whole costume phenomena, you know, like where people show up wearing all these costumes. And like, I'm not a costume person. Mm-hmm. I'm not a tutu person. I guess I'm still pretty old school, although I do wear running skirts now. But that kind of stuff, like where it's, I think Disney really changed mm-hmm. all that. They really kind of made these races a spectacle. And I'm not sure how I feel about that, you know, because I'm still, you know, I'm a goofball, but I'm still a pretty serious runner. And I don't know how I feel about making it like a party like that, mm-hmm. you know. I still feel like you should train and you should have a goal time, but a lot of people do it just to do it, and that's something that I think has changed a lot.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's one of those, it's a catch 22, because I'm kind of right there with you. Like I have no desire to dress up. Like if I'm gonna run a race, like I'm gonna run the race and try to, you know, go as fast as I can for the most part. You know, on the other hand, it's like, you know, the other part of me says, well, shoot, if what gets these folks out and doing it is the fact that they can, you know, dress up as whatever they want.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're still doing it. Like, you know, it's not for me. It's not my cup of tea. But if it's for you, more, you know, kind of like doing the back-to-back thing, more power to you, I guess.
I agree with that. I just feel like some of the race etiquette and stuff has kind of gone out of the window with some of this. People lining up in the front of the races that shouldn't be,
right.
You know, and I mean, if you're not going to run it to race it, then you need to, you know, line up in the back and have fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what they always say, the party's in the back, right? The back
right.
of the pack and that kind of stuff. That's frustrating to me. Or when you've got a group of people running like four across mm-hmm. and you can't get around them mm-hmm. that. And I know that sounds terrible, but you know,
well, no, I don't think you're going to get too many people disagreeing with you that are listening to this show, because yeah, again, no matter, you know, it's one thing if, you know, like you said, wherever you're racing, if you're trying to race hard, like the last thing you want to do is have your race negatively impacted by all the people around you.
Right. The weaving.
Because of an etiquette issue. Like you said, just, you know, there's nothing wrong. If you're going to take, you know, 3.5 hours to run a half marathon, which is more power to you, that's fine. But like you said, you don't need to be up at the front where people are trying to do 130
right.
or 140 or whatever.
Well, it's just interesting because like those hot chocolate runs and like those theme runs, mm-hmm. I just stay away. And I did one Disney run. I did the Disney half marathon like 6 years ago, one and done. It was, I'm glad I did it. I mean, it was really cool to run mm-hmm. through the castle, and we took the boys and we made it a family trip.
Right.
But I wouldn't do it again. I mean, I was in Corral B. I mean, come on, mm-hmm. you know, I'm maybe a 155 half marathoner. But because that just showed, and they have up to Corral K at that time, that just shows you, like, most of the people go for the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm more of a serious runner, but I'm glad I did it, having
right.
said that. But that opened up my eyes to where this was all going, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are you more of a, with that in mind, with kind of the quote, more serious runner type of thing in mind, Do you have a preference for smaller races where maybe you don't have as much of the party atmosphere as at some of the bigger races? Although, I mean, you've done Chicago a bunch of times, but, you know, that's a
yeah.
serious race, even though it's large. But
oh, that's so much fun.
Is there, have you noticed a difference in size of races versus the party crowd and the quote unquote more serious runners?
Yeah, I like those smaller races. Mm-hmm. We have a couple, like in the town I live, we have a couple local 10Ks, and I've done two of them this year. And yeah, you get the little kids who line up in the front, and that's fine, you mm-hmm. know, because I can deal with that. But man, there's fast people in these in these little races, and I think for me that's more fun because it's a little more competitive, and
mm-hmm.
I'm never going to win a race because I'm, you know, I'm old and I'm not that fast, but it's kind of fun for me to actually be competing and mm-hmm. trying to, like, you know, maybe place in my age group or stuff like that. So,
Well, and you can always, you know, if you've got that competitive spirit, which it certainly sounds like you do, you can, you're always competing with yourself. But then, like you said, a little icing on the cake every once in a while, if it's a smaller field and you can get an age group place, like that's always a good feeling.
Well, it's fun. I mean, last year I ran a half marathon in the area, and it's a small, but I mean, decent sized, and I placed in my age group in a half marathon. I was so excited. Mm-hmm. But then the one I ran last fall where I almost PR'd, I came in sixth in my age group, that, right. You know, and I thought, oh, it's only 1,000 people. For sure I'm going to, and no. So, you know, but it's fun.
Yeah, it, you know, you never know who shows up. I had a race that I ran last summer, which, you know, FYI, a summertime, a June something race in Central Florida is not the wisest decision, but, you know, it was a fun race. It was just one of those, like, man, it starts getting hot at the end, you know, no question, but... I was third in my age group, and I didn't even think about sticking, like the idea of sticking around to see what places, like it didn't even occur to me that there was a chance. And I get a message going, hey, where were you? You were third in your age group. And I said, oh, like, gosh, I didn't even put two and two together that was a possibility. So, you know, it was just the right formula of people that were really fast were not male age, you know, 30 to 35 or whatever. Like, I was just...
You're in a fast age group. Oh. Ooh.
Tell me, that's why I didn't even think I should be concerned with sticking around. It wasn't even an option to me. And then all of a sudden, it was all either, 29 to 25 or whatever, or 35 and older, or all the women. So I was, you know, just the luck of the draw that day, I guess.
That's exciting, though.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I can still claim it. I still got it. I still finished third in my age group, but I had no idea that was a possibility that day.
Yeah, no, I ran one that was called Get Lucky, where I'll never run for this promoter again, because, or a race by that promoter again, because I came in second in my age group, and it wasn't the 50 to 54, it was a 50 to 59. It was a big age group,
yeah.
But they didn't have awards for anyone but the first place age group people, and I was like, hey, and I mean, that sounds really petty, but, you know, I was kind of mad.
It's... A little, yeah, I mean, that is a little frustrating. I can see that.
I'm like, come on. I want my reward. I want my pint glass.
Right,
so.
Right, exactly. shifting gears a little bit here, Wendy, starting the blog, how long have you been writing of your blog?
Well, I started this blog 2.5 years ago. I had a medical blog a couple of years ago, but I got hit really bad by this troll who didn't like what I wrote and said they wanted, like, hope that my family would die and stuff.
Goodness
so
gracious.
Yeah, so I canceled that blog. And then so I was a little gun shy, but I met another friend through her blog, and I thought, gee, I could do that, you know, and I started blogging, and here it is. I never expected it to grow the way it has. So it's been really fun.
Is writing something that's always been kind of something you've done, journaling and things like that, as you know, when you were younger, or something that you took on a little bit later, or, you know?
Funny you should ask. I started out in college as a journalism major. I wanted to write, and I didn't like the way I was being trained to be like a newspaper reporter. I, you know, felt like I was going to be like this great writer, right? Because, you know, I was 18 years old. And then, so I switched my major into nursing, which...
Quite the
makes no
different
sense,
end
but,
of the spectrum, yeah.
Yeah, but that I always liked science and I liked medicine. But yeah, I love to write. I've always written, and it's been really fun.
Yeah, but when it comes to writing, is it and more specifically now with the blog, what are your favorite type of posts to write? Is it the recap? Is it the reviews? Is it just kind of the general updates, or something different?
I like to write, there's a couple things. There's a Wednesday word prompt that I always participate in. And, you know, I always joke, you have to really exercise your running muscle or your writing muscle, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and those prompts, because I want to always tie it into running because it's a running blog, those prompts really stretch my brain. And I really like writing those because sometimes they're really tough, you know? Mm-hmm. Like the one I wrote yesterday, the word was pragmatic, and I had no topic, and then I ran on, I had none, and then I had that run on Tuesday, and I wrote about, you know, like kind of just sticking to, you know, I was very pragmatic, I just knew what I needed to do, and that one I wrote in about 10 minutes, some posts I really struggle with. I like writing the humorous ones. I participate in a link up once a month called Run Fashions, which is hosted by Marsha's Healthy Slice. And those are my favorite because that's where I go off the deep end with like weird, funny, quirky things that have happened to me over the month. And those are my most popular posts by far.
Do you have a run fashion that stands out in your mind? That you can share?
Yeah, today. It was so hot out, Denny, and I was running through my neighborhood, and I'm like, I need to stop in the park because this is a Pokestop, and I need more Pokeballs for Pokemon Go. And I did, and then I'm like, if I come back in 5 minutes, I can get more. And I, collected little Pokemons in the last mile on the way home, and that's going to be in my run fashions. And I know everyone's making fun of Pokemon Go, but you know what? It's getting people out. Like we talked about earlier about the racing, it's getting people out. It's getting people moving. And if that's what it takes, hey, I'm having fun with it. So I'm not addicted or anything like that.
So you I don't have to worry about you walking out into traffic or falling off a bridge or something chasing a Pokemon.
No, it was just so funny because it was just so darned hot on the way, my last mile. I took my headphones out and I just turned the sound on my phone. And every time I heard a buzz, I stopped and collected a Pokemon. So there you go. There's my run fashion.
Pokemon Go makes its first appearance on the show. So that's you get a prize for the first person to talk about that.
With your 53-year-old interviewee, yes, there you go. I'm really immature, so, it's a good thing I take care of kids. That's all I have to say. Yeah.
Well, and it keeps you young, I'm sure.
Yeah, I got to grow up one of these days. So.
It's overrated. One of the things I noticed on your website, and I know of at least a couple folks that listen to the show that'll be real keen on this, and I'm keen on it as well. The monthly book club that you do, what started the monthly kind of running-ish, but sometimes a little bit off of the running subject, but kind of health fitness still. What started the book club that you do?
Well, I love to read, and I would occasionally post reviews of running books on the blog. And after I read Scott Jurek's book, I got a lot of feedback from people. They really liked it. That was one of my more popular book reviews. And I thought that it would be fun to have a link up where people could, if they wanted to read the book of the month, they could write a review or post in the comments. And the sad thing is they aren't that popular of posts, which is, it's interesting. But my most popular book was Susie Favor Hamilton's book, which really isn't even a running book. It's more about her, tawdry career in Las Vegas as an escort. Mm. And that got a ton of views, that post. And I did get some interest in the book club after that. And then, now it's more of just a labor of love because I want to help these authors. I mean, I have, these authors reach out to me. This month we're doing Elizabeth Clore's book on Boston Bound, which I cannot wait to read. She sent me a copy. I mean, she tried 7 times to qualify, and she's fast. She's a fast runner.
Right.
So I really am interested in reading about her story and her determination. And, it's something we could all relate to. And then the next one is another author who reached out to me. Alicia Perkins wrote about how running helped her anxiety. So, of course, I want to read that. But she's married to a closing pitcher for the Minnesota Twins. Yeah. So I'm really excited for both of these books. And I hope people read them. Because the other thing is I'd like to help these authors. One author, Dana Ayers, wrote a book called Confessions.
Unlikely Runner, right? Maybe is that the...
Unlikely Runner. Yes. Thank you. And the cool thing about doing her book is that it was an ebook at the time. She was so accessible to me. She's great. She was in Chicago. We tried to connect and we couldn't. But her books now, it's published, it's in regular, and that's really rewarding for me to know that I even had a small piece in that, It's a really good book, by the way.
Well, it's been on my list for a while, and you mentioned Elizabeth's book. She was on the show, and I'm blanking on the number, but in the last month or two, she was on the show. We were talking about her book, and I'm actually looking forward to participating in the the book club next month, since I've already got the book and I'm about maybe about 3/4 of the way through it. So I'm looking forward to it. So walk me through, like, what happens if you know, for myself or anybody else that's listening, that's like, hey, I'm a runner. I love to read. I love reading running books. And like I said, I know there's a handful of folks that listen that are probably going to be interested in this type of idea as well. What is it, you know, for me on the outside, how do I participate in the book club?
All you have to do is read the book, and if you have a blog, you can write a review on your blog, and then you can link it up to mine. The link up stays open for 2 weeks after I post my review, so there's plenty of time. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I missed it. I'm like, no, there's still time.
Right.
Or you can just post your comments, you know, and review in the comments. You know, and the comments are never closed. You can, you could post it a year from now, and I'd still publish it.
That's all there is to it. Pretty simple.
It's easy. And, you know, I can't believe how many good running books are coming out. Like, oh, I can't remember her name, but it's called Run the World or something. And that just is coming out, and I'm going to feature that this fall. Like, there's too many books. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough time to read them all.
That's one of those. It's a blessing and a curse problem, because you never run out of options. But yeah, like, you know, between running and working and family and all the other things, like, that's one of my struggles too, is like, how do I find as much time to read as I would like to? But having a little carrot, a little reason, a little you know, blog post and communication and discussion and a little book club, like, I think that might motivate, I know, myself and maybe some others as well.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the Susie Favor Hamilton book really got my book club into people's consciousness. So I guess there was that, you know. So I mean, I'm hoping, and I promote the posts on Facebook, because I just feel like Facebook doesn't promote my book club posts for some reason, and I don't know if it's because it's linked to a book. Yeah, I don't know, because it's weird. So I do boost those posts just to get it out there, and it's helped a lot.
Well, and I mean, I just feel like it's one of those things where everybody's like, oh yeah, that would be cool to read that book, but when you have a little bit of that club, that little bit of that community around, like, you know, oh, I can read it, and then I can find out what Wendy thinks about the book and what somebody else thinks about the book, and like, it just makes it a little bit more, you know, just like we talked about earlier about meeting people in person and taking that online friendship offline, like, you know, starting this type of online friendship can help to bring people around and make reading a priority, which is always a good thing. Reading's always a good
thing. It is. It's funny though, because people are like, where are we meeting? And I'm like, no, it's a virtual book club. So it's just, I think people still kind of don't get that. And then I do, it's a social community about books too, called Goodreads. Mm-hmm. Have you ever?
I've heard of it. I haven't used it much, but I know of it.
Well, I have a group on there too, the Taking the Long Way Home Book Club. So, like, people who are on Goodreads, maybe not on other social media, can learn about the books from there too. So, you know, all you do is just join. It's really easy.
Right. Well, it's awesome. So, guys, if you're thinking about what book to read this summer or in the fall or whenever you're listening to this, and your running books are your thing, definitely we'll check that out. We'll have links in the show notes as well, like I promised before. So, Wendy, as we're getting a little bit close to starting to wrap things up today, I would love to ask, I've kind of been calling them philosophical questions, like, just something that's a little bit deeper, a little bit less specific, but very open-ended. So it really allows for just, you know, no wrong answer, certainly, and just kind of to take it. And sometimes it's a really, you know, crazy, almost mind-blowing to me answer, and sometimes it's not, and that's fine, and whatever route it goes. But I'd love to ask a bit of a philosophical question as we're wrapping up today, I'd love to know that, or I'd love to ask, in the time that you've been running, what is a lesson or two that running has taught you, or that you've learned through running, that then you've been able to use and implement in other areas of your life as well?
Well, I always, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek say the quote, I can do hard things. Mm. You know, I was really scared of the marathon distance. I mean, to run a marathon was so hard for me, and my first Chicago marathon was a disaster. I just fell apart. It took me 3 years to get the courage up to run it again. I won a free entry through my employer, and I was ready, and my CrossFit coach trained me for it in a more of an unconventional fashion than probably most marathoners do, but that is what got me to the start line. And I ran the whole thing, and I smiled the whole time. And I learned from that experience that nothing is too hard for me, that, you know, and I can take that off the road. And I mean, raising teenagers is not easy at all. Well, it's, yeah. And, you know, I've dug deep for that strength that I get from running long distances to, you know, manage life at home. I deal with some really dicey situations in my job. I can, you know, I can be strong and I can be tough, maybe too tough, I don't know. But it, you know, it's amazing how much running has given me that kind of inner strength, like iron will, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, you know, I've said several times that I'm not a metaphor guy, but man, like running can be such, especially marathon running, but any type of distance, whatever your distance is, I don't care if you're
absolutely.
10K is a distance, you know, a long distance race to you, that's fine. Like whatever pushes you, like you can learn so much if you just do it. And you know, the strength that you didn't know you had and the resolve and the determination, like running can be a great teacher for sure. And just about, like you said, just work and family and personal, I mean, just all over the place.
Oh yeah. I mean, and yesterday that run yesterday or the run on Tuesday really proved to me how much, how important running is in my life and how important I need it. And you take it for granted and you forget about that. And then when you don't have it and you miss it, and I've never missed it like I did this week. I think it's just because it just a lot of stuff going on in my personal life. And boy, the way it turned things around for me, and I was able to like kind of face the next day and tackle everything that was thrown at me, and it was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's running to do amazing things for you if you let it, if you stick with it long enough.
I know it sounds so corny, like non-runners just laugh at us, but it is. Somebody at work said, yeah, it's your drug. I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's free and the side effects are all positive. Other than the occasional plantar fasciitis or something like that.
Oh, this 9-month battle with this beast. Oh, but goodness. It could be worse. Yes. That's all I can say. I can live with this.
It can always be worse. And hopefully soon, Wendy, that plantar fasciitis will be better and you won't have to think about it anymore. You can just get out there and go and do your thing and not worry about that stupid tissue on the bottom of your foot.
I think everybody would like it to go away because I think they're tired of hearing me complain about it.
Well, I'm as somebody who my background is in athletic training and sports medicine, so I understand that as much as you complain about it and people may be sick of it, nobody's more sick of it than you are. I
absolutely
fully can appreciate that. So, well, guys, Taking Long Way Home, I got it right this time. TakingLongWayHome.com. I'll have all the social media links and links to some of the things we talked about. Certainly, the book club and. Some of the other bloggers that Wendy mentioned today, all in the show notes for this episode, you can find at dizruns.com/294. So, Wendy, thank you for taking the time today. I hope that you enjoyed it. And again, like I said, hopefully that plantar fasciitis will, you know, 9 months down, that's a long battle. And hopefully it won't be too much more. And you can just be out to run and not worry about the pain in your foot anymore. But thanks for joining us today and all the best going forward.
Thank you, Denny.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Wendy and myself. And as always, I'd love to know what stood out to you from this episode of the show. What was your takeaway from our chat today? For me, what kind of stood out was the Pokemon Go comment and how after a recent run, you know, Wendy was on her way back and was kind of over it. But to make things a little bit more fun, she stopped at the park and chased. I don't even know the proper, easy for me to say, Pokemon vernacular. But she collected some Pokemon things with the Pokemon Go app on her phone. And the reason that stood out to me is that you know, no matter how long you've been running, it's important to keep our running fun. You know, to keep things entertaining. And if Pokemon's not your thing and it's not really my thing, that's okay. The trick is to just find things that keep you running fun, you know, whether that's dressing up in costume, which also isn't my thing, but it could be yours, whether that's running with friends, whether it's running by yourself, whether that's being competitive, you know, whatever it is, whatever floats your boat, and your boat may change, you know, that thing that may float your boat may change over time, and that's okay too. Just keep it fun, and that was my takeaway from talking to Wendy today. So what stood out to you? What was it from our conversation that most resonated with you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you'll be able to find at DizRuns.com/294, and leave a comment. And that way others can see it and add to it, and the conversation can continue far off into the future. So that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening, as always. And if you're interested in about the Coterie, just let me know, or head over to disruns.com/coterie for more information. And again, whatever questions you might have, I'm happy to answer them for you. So that's it. That's it for this episode, guys. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Appreciate your attention. And hope that you enjoyed it. And as always, have a great rest of the day. And look forward to talking to you guys again real soon. Take care, guys.